deputy foreign minister says Assad is losing control of his country and the rebels might win. Syria's opposition has gained worldwide recognition. Meanwhile, in Damascus, a bomb exploded near a school in the capital's suburbs.
Fox News Radio's Emily Wither, at least 16 dead in that bombing. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Our weather forecast for today calling for mostly sunny weather. Temperatures will reach the middle 40s. Tonight mostly clear down to 30 to 35. And plenty of sunshine on Friday with Friday's highs 45 to 50. Clear weather at night in the mid-30s. Saturday we open up the weekend with mostly sunny weather and temperatures in the mid-40s. It'll be clouding over on Saturday night. Possibility of some rain and snow overnight. Nighttime lows in the mid-30s. On Sunday it warms into the mid-40s, so we'll have clouds and the possibility of some rain showers. Again, daytime highs mid-40s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather is brought to you on WVOX Worldwide by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
Every day, New Yorkers depend upon the clean and reliable electricity provided by Indian Point. On an average day, Indian Point provides about a quarter of the electricity for New York City and Westchester at lower cost than other power plants and helps our efforts to improve air quality. You have a right to know the facts about Indian Point, because when talk turns to extending the licenses of these plants, we all need to remember how important Indian Point is to New York. For instance, did you know that without Indian Point's lower-cost power, our electric rates would be much higher, and that an equivalent gas-fired power plant would pour millions of tons of pollutants a year into the air we breathe, and that the independent experts in charge of New York's electric grid have said that the city could face rolling blackouts without Indian Point. I'm Teresa Motko, and I'm an engineer here at Indian Point, and my family and I live in the area. All of us have a right to know why Indian Point is right for New York. Visit rightfornewyork.com for answers.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of the Thornton Donovan School, Bethesda Baptist Church, Joe's Deli, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
Thank you for joining us on 1460 WVOX, America's great community radio station where many different voices are heard in the land. Opinions expressed on our community and open line programs are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors. As always, we're privileged to amplify the voice of the people here on Vox Populi 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com for you and yours.
Wishing your family the merriest Christmas ever. AM 1460 WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Levensold, your host for this series on the natural world, education and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's guest is from various of those disciplines. He's a scientist, an activist, and an author, and an educator. And in fact, he's an entertainer. And the only thing he isn't is the worst thing on the list, a public official. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, December 13th, the 85th day of autumn. We have lost less than a minute of daylight since yesterday, 13 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 7:12 this morning. It will set at 4:28 this evening. Short, short days. We will have 9 hours, 16 minutes of daylight today. At the winter solstice, in just 8 days, there will be 9 hours and 14 minutes, just 2 minutes less than today. So these are the shortest days of the year, for sure. The moon rose at 7:17 this morning. It will set at 5:09 this afternoon. We are at new moon today, and in fact, we hit the actual moment of new moon less than 2 hours ago at 8:42 this morning. Next full moon, December 28th. The winter solstice will occur on December 21st, 8 days from today. It is the defining moment of the beginning of winter. Days will begin to lengthen at that time. The next time we meet will be winter. Enjoy this last week of autumn. Now, not the next high tides, but the current high tides, because they're all very high right now in New Rochelle, 10:12, which was, I don't know, about 25 minutes ago. Tarrytown turned high at 9:22, Yonkers at 8:38, Peekskill at 10:01. So we are high all around the county today. A regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Staff Sergeant Wesley R. Williams, age 25, of New Carlisle, Ohio. He was with the 2nd Infantry Division, killed by a roadside bomb in Kandahar Province on December 10th, today being the 13th. That was just 3 days ago. Navy Petty Officer, not only Petty Officer, but a Navy SEAL. Petty Officer First Class Nicholas D. Cheche. I hope I'm saying that right. Cheche. Age 28, from Monroeville, Pennsylvania. He died of combat-related wounds suffered during the successful rescue of Dr. Dilip Joseph near the Pakistan border in eastern Afghanistan on December 8th, 5 days ago. Dr. Joseph was a U.S. aid worker. He was kidnapped on December 5th along with two Afghans in Kabul province as they were returning from a medical clinic, and Navy SEAL Nicholas Cheche was part of the successful rescue of that doctor. Specialist Tyler J. Orgard, age 20, of Bismarck, North Dakota. He was with the 164th Engineer Battalion. He was one of two soldiers killed by a roadside bomb in Helmand Province on December 3rd. The soldier killed along with him was Sergeant First Class Darren M. Lind, age 41, of Sydney, Montana, also of the 164th Engineers. And finally, Marine Lance Corporal Anthony J. Denier, age 26, of Mechanicville, New York. He was with the 2nd Marine Division, killed in combat in Helmand Province on December 2nd. These five American servicemen, three Army, one Navy, and one Marine, were alive on the day of our last broadcast. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Time for the Culture Corner, my reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions, and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. We saw the movie Argo. It's a movie about the rescue of six Americans. Now, you know, it's been out for a couple of months now, I think. It's the movie about the rescue of six Americans from Iran in 1980. It was during the Carter administration. The American embassy was stormed and taken over by a revolutionary faction. They called them students at the time, but we know better today that all of these guys are terrorists, and they're just calling themselves students or radicals or whatever they call themselves. They're terrorists. 53 people were taken, but six escaped and got and hit at the Canadian ambassador's residence. Now, it was still very hairy because they were looking for them, but this is the story of how the CIA got them out. The 53 were held for 444 days. Ben Affleck directed and played the role of CIA agent Tony Mendez. He did a good job with both of them. There's good action, a good supporting cast is also pretty good. There are some predictable suspense devices which may or may not have actually occurred, but it is a watchable movie throughout. At the time, WABC began a nightly countdown until the hostages were released. That nightly show became the program Nightline, which I believe still prevails. Ted Koppel retired from it a couple of years ago, and I stopped watching it at that point, but I think it's still around. And it was also during this time that a wife of one of the hostages posted a tidy yellow ribbon around a tree outside her house until her husband was returned, and that was the time that the yellow ribbon became a symbol of longing for a loved one being held far away or in danger at war. So now when you see yellow ribbons, it dates back to 1980, actually. It's a decent movie, not a must-see, but you'll probably enjoy it if you invest the time and money. Just a quick comment I have. Representative, I think it's Peter King, Steve King, a Republican from Iowa this morning, said that this Benghazi affair is 10 times worse than Watergate and Iran-Contra combined. Well, in Watergate, during the Nixon administration, there was a burglary. A felony was committed. Nixon knew about it. It drove him from office, so that's pretty bad. And Iran-Contra was Ronald Reagan supplying rebels with money that was not authorized by Congress, was specifically unauthorized by Congress, by selling weapons to some of our enemies, as I recall, Iran, perhaps, helping the Contras by selling weapons to Iran. So that was pretty bad. So Benghazi, I think, was just a lapse of security, but let it be investigated. Let's see what really happened. I don't think it was more than that. So how you can say that it's even in the same ballpark, just, well, when I saw that on the monitor, it kind of stunk up the studio. So let's see what Steve King, the fallout from this. Okay, my guest today is Brent Nixon, a naturalist. Brent spends part of his life on a cruise ship educating the public about the species which inhabit the areas which they will visit. I met Brent on an Alaskan cruise last June, and his talks on seals, sea lions, eagles, bears, and most especially orca captivated me completely. Another part of his life is spent in the wild among these animals, researching, studying, and another part at home in Washington State, raising his daughters, whom he is preparing to take to school right now because it is 7:31 in the morning in Washington State. Joining us from Washington State, welcome, Brent Nixon.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be here, and great to get a chance to talk with your audience.
Good morning. Good morning. Where are you in Washington, and what's the weather like out there?
We are in the home of applets and cotlets, which is a favorite fruit confection that was created. It has a Turkish ancestry. It is Kashmir, Washington.
Kashmir.
So for your guests that are geographically astute, it is the geographic center of the state of Washington. We're on the eastern flank of the Cascade Mountains.
Well, I doubt if any of us are that geographically astute. I certainly didn't know it. But, how's the weather out there today?
Superb, actually. We get 305 days of sunshine a year out here in Kashmir. And today is sun is starting to come up, and the weather is looking good. It's brisk. You know, in the bigger picture of things, it's below freezing, but we don't have much snow down just yet.
So you do get snow?
Oh, yes. We get lots of snow.
But the sun shines while you're getting it?
Actually, what happens is most of the time we get the snow at night, and then the sun shines throughout the day.
Oh, my goodness.
So we get the premier ski conditions. We have two ski areas within about 45 minutes of Kashmir.
I'm guessing that you don't ski.
Oh, yes. I taught skiing before I went into the military, and then I taught skiing while I was in the military, both Nordic and downhill for the military.
You taught skiing in the military? I was in the Army, and I never heard of such an MOS. What, who does that?
Well, I was in the Army as well, Bob, and the backcountry skills that you need to survive in Alaska require that you know how to ski.
So you taught special forces, I guess.
Well, I worked with most of the infantry battalions, not only in Alaska, but also off of Fort Bragg and several other duty assignments.
Cool, cool. Okay, we have to take a break, but the first thing I'll ask you when we come back is about sailing with Jacques Cousteau. You actually sailed with the great man, and let's just hold that for a moment, and we'll be back with you. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Bobo, Alaska, Bobo, Alabama, Unalaska, Alaska, Surprise, Arizona, Berlin, New Hampshire, or Moscow, Arkansas, you have logged on to www.wvox.com and you are listening live. I am Bob Lebensold. The program is Environmentally Sound. My guest is naturalist Brent Nixon, and we will be right back.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. In the fiscal cliff face-off, a new Fox poll showing most Americans are following the issue very closely.
Some falling along party lines, such as nearly 60% of Republicans believing it's time to make major cuts in entitlement programs now. Just over half the Democrats say those programs should continue at current levels. Some answers bipartisan, almost all agreeing that if tax rates go up on the rich, the president should agree to major government spending cuts.
Fox Radio's Rich Johnson, the number of people applying for first-time unemployment benefits dropping for the fourth straight week. And music legends last night packing Madison Square Garden to help raise money for Sandy survivors.
This is a prayer for all our struggling brothers and sisters in New York and all along New Jersey.
Bruce Springsteen, the Rolling Stones, Paul McCartney among those appearing during the nearly six-hour-long concert. Fox News, we report, you decide.
I'm aboard as a Music of Your Life VIP guest as we set sail for a seven-day Caribbean cruise featuring Les Brown Jr., Debbie Boone, and Steve Martin Shoreman. Paradise Tours and Travel invites you to the event of the year, the Music of Your Life Caribbean Cruise. The cruise departs Fort Lauderdale in April 2013 with stops in St. Thomas, St. Martin, Grand Turks, and Princess Cay. But the best part is the entertainment. With your Music of Your Life VIP pass, you will see Les Brown Jr. and his band of renown on stage with special guest stars Debbie Boone, Steve Martin Tourmé. Hey,
baby, it's your man calling with a stylish plan. We'll
get up close and personal with Les, Debbie, and Steve as they share stories about growing up in Hollywood, their celebrity lives, and families. To find out more and book your cabin today, go to musicofyourlife.com. That's musicofyourlife.com. Or call Paradise Tours and Travel at 1-888-495-7828. That's 888-495-7828.
This is Bill O'Shaughnessy. This is a brief promo for our new Morning Man. You know, the guy who gets up early and gets us off and running during the week. The guy's name is T.J. McCormick. He's born and bred in our home Heath in Westchester, went to Stepanak. I think he's very bright, he's very intelligent, and he understands what it's all about and the responsibility he has to be our leadoff hitter in the morning. We've had some great broadcasters over the years. I reminded this week John Bodner and Ed Robbins and Chuck Strom and Billy Bush and Fred Hirsch. They come back to me over the years, Ken Gorin and Bob Marone and Larry Goldstein and Mark Mason. There's a guy named Ralph Cooper they used to call Coopy Doo. But I think you're going to like this guy, McCormick. People are talking about him. Don, why don't you get him a normal human name, TJ? What the hell does TJ stand for?
We're in the Christmas spirit. How about you? AM 1460 WVOX.
WVOX.
We are back. You're listening to Environmentally Sound on WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. I am Bob Levinsold. My guest is Brent Nixon. Welcome back, Brent.
Thank you very much, Bob. It's wonderful to be here.
It is wonderful to have you. You sailed with Jacques Cousteau. Tell us just a bit about that before we get into your actual work.
That was a pretty exciting time in my career. I was working out in the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska, which is a western, southwestern section of the state of Alaska. And Jacques was interested in doing some work along the western Alaskan coastline with his vessel, the Alcyon. And because I had contacts with the wildlife refuge and research permits associated with that, I got invited to be on board. And that was a huge, huge step for me, being I had just gotten out of college and just was getting involved with natural resources research and also with environmental planning. And to have the resources of the Alcyon and, in particular, Jacques to my devices was really quite amazing. It was a difficult time for him as well. He had just lost his son, Philippe, and Philippe, of course, was the natural heir to the Cousteau philosophies and societies and research, and it was a very, very difficult time for him. And in some ways, it almost felt like Jacques kind of adopted me a little bit. I ended up on the Alcyon for a pretty good period of time. We sailed from Alaska all the way through the Hawaiian Islands and all the way down to Papua New Guinea.
Wow.
And we got a lot of time together. I learned a lot. I learned how to ask questions, and that was probably one of the most important scientific things of my career, was learning how to ask questions and not be afraid to ask questions.
That's kind of the basis of science, not being afraid to ask questions and knowing to do that.
That's exactly. And Jacques didn't function inside the box, and that was the beauty of it, was that he'd look at his scientists and he would say, "Why can't we do that?"
Excellent.
Everybody would look at each other and say, "Well, we're not sure why." and that's where it would go.
And that's it. And if you can't give me a reason, then we're going to do it.
Well, he didn't believe that we had physical boundaries that couldn't be pushed. and thus the development of all the scuba diving equipment that he, over the years, came up with. And at that point in his life, of course, you know, he's pretty old, and there were a couple of dives where he came back from the dives looking like he was pretty worn out and pretty wrapped up. And
well, that was in Alaska. The water's cold up there.
Well, actually, the dive that I still remember was actually down in New Guinea, down in the Torres Straits and, area. And we actually had to pull ourselves back to the boat via the anchor chain because there was a pretty strong current running. And he looked at me, and we thought he was going to say, "That's it. I'm never going to dive again." That little smirk came over his face, and then he said, "You know, I think I am going to design dive gear for old men." And so, at that point, we knew he was back. You know, that's Jacques. He was, and it was magic to be around him. And I out in Hawaii, where I was working part time doing humpback whale work, we were doing fundraisers for the Cousteau Society, so I got a chance to see him and also Jean-Michel Cousteau a couple of different times.
So you not only sailed with him, you dove with him. That's
correct.
Fantastic. Did you stay in touch with him until his death?
We're in and out of communication, and that's the unfortunate part of being on a new project. You get pulled to a different part of the world. You get pulled to a different area, and at best, during that time frame of the 1980s, and the concept of sending an email to somebody, the concept of it was letter writing still at that point, and/or expensive long-distance phone call.
But it still is a privilege to be in touch with such a man, I'm sure.
Truly. And of course, for me, a pivotal point with respect to taking care of the planet and taking care of the environment and taking care of the creatures that exist on our planet.
Okay, that's your Jacques Cousteau stuff. I mean, I could have you on here for an hour and we'd get through it. So since we only have about 6 minutes left, I think... Let's get on to your work. You are I don't know what to call you, a lecturer or a seminar holder aboard cruise ships. And I had the privilege of not just hearing but experiencing your presentations, because when you're talking about seals, you flip-flop on the stage like a seal. And when you're talking about bears, you're menacing. Your presentations are fabulous. So we can't get all of them, so we'll leave the eagles and the sea lions for the moment. The one very interesting thing before we get to the orca, which is really where I want to go, is that with bears, there are some bears that you run from and some bears that you play dead with. How do you know and what do you do?
Well, there on the eastern seaboard, you have only Ursus americanus, which is the American black bear. And that particular bear is the kind of bear where you don't play dead with that bear. That's the kind of bear that if that bear engages you, you're going to fight back. And if you don't fight back, then you become a wonderful snack.
So right here, the bears that we see on the East Coast, if you see one in the woods, you don't run and you don't play dead, you stand your ground?
Yeah, you stand your ground, make yourself look big, you know, make some noise, talk to the bear in a low voice. And the more people that are standing around, of course, the more menacing you look and the bigger you look.
So,
that's the whole game plan for their world is...
How can you make noise and also speak softly to the bear?
Yeah, well, that's where testosterone really comes into its own, I suppose. That's where, unfortunately, some people, when they get frightened, they go into a very high, squeaky voice. High, squeaky voice sounds like a dying rabbit. You really don't want to do that. You want to have as much testosterone in your voice as you can. And at the same time, you know, that might mean banging on a pan. It might be banging on the picnic table. There's lots of other possibilities of ways of making noise above and beyond your voice.
Okay, so you want your voice to be low, but you want to be a noisy person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And with that, of course, you know, the bear realizes that something bigger than it is communicating that it's not very pleased with its presence.
Okay, Brent, we're running out of time, so we're going to talk about orcas briefly, but I will call you today or tomorrow, and I'm going to invite you back on. We have so much more to talk about. So in the meantime, while I have you, you said some things about orca in your presentation, which actually brought tears to my eyes, about they're called killer whales. Now, they're not really killers, are they? And please give us 2 minutes of it now, and we'll get the rest of it next time. Are they killers? Do they kill people, or are they a spiritual being?
Well, historically, of course, the whaling teams of the world, you know, saw this as an animal that killed whales, and thus the terminology "killer whales." To be grammatically correct, you'd say whale killer. But in the bigger picture of things, yes, they're an apex predator, so they do kill. You know, as far as the marine environment is concerned, that's their job. However, their interface with humans, we have such a limited amount of information associated with orca, as they're properly determined, ever aggressing against humans in the wild. And in every instance where there was an aggression of orca against a human in the wild, and there's only two right at the moment as far as records are concerned, the orca didn't officially attack. The orca actually, you know, pushed the human toward shore, and in the trauma of things, of course, maybe the human, you know, called it an attack, but the truth of the matter is it isn't a real attack.
So the orca was
very
trying.
Different. You know, wild scenarios is very different than a captive situation. You know, orca in a captive situation has some other parameters. You know, it would be the equivalent of dealing with somebody that's in a manic depressive state. You know, you're dealing with a captive environment. So we're talking about the wild, and that's important.
Yeah, I understand that. They have killed in captivity because it's an unnatural environment for them. But you said something about how they may be trying to deliver a message to mankind. Is that philosophy, or do you have something to back it up?
Well, the beauty of that is that what we see is a scenario where here's this creature that has this matrilineal society. Here's this creature that has this family, just like we have family. Here's this creature that has language, just like we have language. And here's this creature that is very dedicated to a true culture, so to speak. They share information with each other. And so you've got this creature that's out there that doesn't aggress against humans. And so at the end of the day, do you ask yourself, you know, are they attempting to show you love under the hopes that we show love back to them someday? Wow. And it has a lot to do with how you define, you know, compassion, love, if you will. But here's this creature that doesn't attack humans out in the wild, that has its language, that cares about its young, it mourns the loss of a family member. You know, these are all things that are very, if you want to anthropomorphize them,
okay. Brent, unfortunately, we're getting cut off. I'm going to call you very soon, and hopefully your schedule is clear, and I'll bring you back just as soon as we possibly can, okay?
Fantastic.
Very great. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank Brent Nixon for joining us on Environmentally Sound this morning. So many misconceptions we have about our fellow creatures. They are as unique as we are, surely worthy of being understood, respected, and protected. Our thought for the week, whether you sing or play an instrument or none of the above, make music. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station. Thank you to Bill O'Shaughnessy and Don Stevens. Next up, I think Sturman, if he's around. I am Bob Lebensold, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.